آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To one and all, Allah accept us for His deen.
سبحان الله. How amazing are the صحابة الكرام رضي الله عنهم. To reiterate, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As رضي الله عنه, striving for Allah from the lands of Palestine, they moved on to Egypt. The daughter of Muqawqis, who was captured, was treated so well by the Muslims. She actually had ran away from her father's palace. But amazing are the words that she uttered in acknowledgement to the treatment and the kindness of the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum, that I trust these men more than my father and the people who are around him. Inni amanu ala nafsi wa irdi, and I feel safe for my life and my honor under any Muslim's protection. Allahu Akbar. Then even in the men in my father's palace. Then the Sahaba sent her with the greatest of respect to her father. They also showed appreciation to the fact that Muqawqis, Juraij ibn Mina, showed respect to the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Sahaba remembered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's words, wherein he said to the Sahaba, we mentioned this recently, when we mentioned Hazrat Maria radiallahu anha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, be kind to the people of Egypt. There is family relation between us, marital relation, ذِمَّةً وَصِهْرَةً. One is, they are Christians who will be under the Muslims, so they should be dealt with justly, and sihr, marital relation. This is an indication to Hazrat Maria radiallahu anha, the mother of Hazrat Ibrahim, the blessed son of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, be kind to them due to family relation. And that is an indication to the mother of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. But as Sahaba strove further into Allah's way, when they got to an area called the fortress of Babylon, this is near the Nile River, not far from Cairo today. That vicinity was quite impregnable. Around the city was a huge, deep trench filled with landmines and sharp nails hindering the Sahaba from advancement. They sieged for quite a while, but then came the season of the Nile, where it flowed and the water surrounded the Muslims from all directions. Some of the Muslims almost drowned. At that time, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu writes to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, send assistance for us. And Hazrat Umar sends 4,000 plus 4. Imagine, he said, leading these 4,000 men are four men, each one equivalent to 1,000. We just mentioned them, Hazrat Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Miqdad bin Amr al-Aswad, radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Maslama bin Mukhallad, radiallahu anhu. When Muqawqis got to know of the reinforcements that came to the Muslims, he then sent a delegation of men to the Sahaba, to the Muslims, to spend a few days in the company of the Muslims and to bring back a detailed recount, a detailed report of the lifestyle of the Muslims. He said to his men, describe them to me as though I can see them. These men, this delegation, stayed in the hospitality of the Muslims for 3 days and three nights. And when they returned, their response to Muqawqis, their king, was, we've just coming from a people, al-mawtu ashha ilayhim min al-hayat. They prefer death than life. They love humility more than pride. They love to be humble. They never want to be arrogant. They prefer sitting on the soil, on the floor. And when they eat in a very humble manner. Their Amir is one of them. And all of them together are equal. There's a quality of equality, irrespective of each one coming from a different race or tribe or lineage. They treat each other equally. And then comes the time of prayer. Everyone participates in their salah. None excuses himself and misses his prayer. But before prayer, sir, they wash their limbs and their faces with water. And when they pray, they are humbled before their Creator in their salah, which is a communion with the Almighty Allah. Muqawqis said, such people, if they have to face the mountains, they would remove and uproot the mountains also. And even if the entire demon kind The jinn kind come for them. They would annihilate the entire world of demons. You know, Christians speak a lot about demons, so it seems that that's what he's referring to. But subhanAllah, Allah has protected the ummah with the beauty of the Quran and the beautiful practices of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why as Muslims, Allahu Akbar, there were so many of these sorcerers, male and female, who acknowledged that when we try to harm Muslims, there's like a dome protecting them. And this is through the du'as taught to us by Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is through the Quran Kareem. But it seems Muqawqis was still curious. He wanted to know more, but not having the courage to go himself, he then writes to Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, send me some of your men. I want to negotiate with them and we'll have some agreement. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu sends 10 men, and their Amir was Hazrat Ubadah radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ubadah was huge, was big built, tall stature, long hair, huge beard. And subhanAllah, his skin was dark in color. And when he spoke to Muqawqis, Muqawqis was awe-stricken. And he said to them, but why does this man have to speak to me? And the response of the remainder of the delegation was, he's our Amir, our leader. And we are told that he will speak on our behalf. So Hazrat Ubadah spoke, and subhanAllah, what an impact it had on their king. But among the questions posed by Muqawqis, the Alexandrian king, was what brings you all here? Why have you all come here? What do you all want? And subhanAllah, the Sahabi Hazrat Ubadah responds, by Allah, we've only come for the pleasure of Allah. Sahaba came for no other reason. They didn't come for the world or for the things or for the pleasures. We've come, ma kharajna illa ibtigha'a mardati Allah azza wa jal. We've come for to seek the pleasure of our Allah. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that this world is not our place. Our zest for this world is very minimal. What just covers our hunger, covers our body. And it's not the pleasures of this world that we want. That can't give us happiness. وَإِنَّمَا النَّعِيمُ نَعِيمُ الْآخِرَةِ We seek the pleasures of the afterlife. Muqawqis says, I've heard what you are saying. Definitely, this is how y'all have reached us. This is how y'all are so successful. This is how y'all are receiving such victory. It's because you love the afterlife and it's not this world that you love. And while we're mentioning this, let's remember the meaning of dunya. Subhanallah, the root letters comes from the word daniya yadna, which means to be low, something lowly and despicable. And dunya, adna means the lowest. The feminine form of that is dunya, the lowest thing. It has no value. Look at those who have everything in this world. Sometimes we speak to our local brothers, and sometimes some brothers who have nothing or are impoverished, they feel, you know, the day we have a lot of money, we'll be happy. But when you talk to them politely and explain to them that those who have a lot but don't have the Almighty in their life, they're not happy, sir. They are miserable. They have everything. But a lot of them, many of them, end up suicidal. When we take the time to explain to them, like Sahaba did, people start listening. Not long ago, I met some lawyers and we got speaking to them and the discussion ensued in the same manner. Sometimes we give them some literature and a few of them have this reaction. Is there some money in here? And then you explain to them. Subhanallah, they are prepared to listen, but we have to converse. Muqawqis then said, but I'm telling you, the Romans are coming for you. Their numbers are enormous. They have unlimited amount of numbers. And you're not going to make it with them. We know you'll never manage fight the Romans. You're very few and minimal in number. Their numbers are unlimited. So what you'll do, before they come, why don't I give you all each 2 gold coins, every one of your men out, as you say, in the Lord's way, in Allah's way. And I'll give your Amir, your leader, 100 gold coins, 100 dinar. And I'll send 1,000 dinar for your Khalifa. But please, leave. Don't take on what you cannot bear. You're going to regret it. So he's still trying to instill fear in the Jamaat of Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, in this delegation. So Hazrat Ubadah says, see, you try to instill fear in us. But such words do not hinder us from our goal. Our goal is to make Allah happy.
Sahaba's goal was to make deen available to humanity. وَإِنَّنَا مُوقِنُونَ We have conviction that we will acquire one of two things. Both are nice. One is, if we defeat you, we'll get the booty of this world. If you defeat us, greater for us is the booty of the Akhirah. And you're trying to get us scared to go back home? But actually, every one of us, ask Allah after every one of our prayers to grant us martyrdom and not to send us back home in a disgraceful manner. And each of us have left our families and our children in the protection of Allah. Imagine Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Then they gave him the dawat of Islam or jizya, and the Muslims will protect them. And the other is we ready to meet on the battlefield. Anyway, the next thing was the battle. When they threatened the Muslims of the Romans coming, something else interesting did happen. There was the leader of the Roman army whose name was Artabun. They did arrive because the Romans were worried that Egypt must not fall from their hands. They had just lost Palestine. So the army had shifted to this region. And subhanAllah, those battles also, Allah gave the Sahaba great success. And the local Egyptians, many of them started embracing Islam. Egypt was the breadbasket of the Romans. And the local Egyptians, who were also Christians, but they were ill-treated by the Romans. And there's many amazing incidents that happened between the Muslims and the Roman army. On one occasion, Artabun wanted to meet one of the Muslim army. And Hazrat Amr ibn al-As decided that instead of sending someone, he will go on behalf of his own emissary, not mentioning to their commander who he actually is. And in the discussion between them, subhanAllah, that man, Artabun, their commander, realized the wit and the intelligence of Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. He then decided to assassinate him. And that was obviously contrary to the law. And he didn't want to allow him to go back safely because he felt such intelligent people, he must be the one behind the entire battle, this entire operation. When Hazrat Amr ibn al-As read from their eyes, from their situation, he understood what they were planning. He then turned back to their leader saying that you've gifted me such valuable gifts. This is not fair to my brothers. When I return, I have 10 brothers just like myself. And every one of them will fight with me for this. I have to leave this gift and come back to you tomorrow. And sir, I insist that you give every one of my brothers exactly the same. And here, their commander is planning in his mind, if this man has 10 brothers, I need to catch all of them. And what an ideal, opportune moment. Let me wait for them tomorrow, and then I'll seize them. And the Muslims will have none to guide them and be behind such operations ever again. And subhanAllah, that's how Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu made it out of the clutches of the Roman army. Another amazing event that happened was Islam was spreading rapidly in the lands of Sham. And Hazrat Muawiyah asked for teachers to be sent to this region to teach Allah's deen. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu called 5 senior Sahaba radiallahu anhu who were masters of the Quran and the Sunnah, of course. And Hazrat Umar consulted with them that we need to go to these regions. People are embracing Islam in the multitudes. We need to invite to Islam and we need to teach Allah's deen. And I need to send you all. But I need 3 of you all. Who were they? Hazrat Ubadah bin Samit, of course, radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah, what an amazing sahabi. Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal, radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ubayy ibn Ka'ab, radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Abu Darda, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And when they were with Hazrat Umar, radiallahu anhu, and he presented the taqaza before them, he said that the people of Sham are in need of people to teach them deen. بِمَنْ يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْقُرْآنِ وَيُفَقِّهُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ To teach the Qur'an, the sunnah, the fiqh. Help me. 3 of y'all. If y'all want, y'all can cast lots and see whose names come out. But I need at least 3. They responded, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, there's no need to cast lots. Abu Ayyub is elderly.
Ubay ibn Ka'b is sickly. We three are ready to go. Hazrat Umar was so elated by this. The Sahaba, even those two who were elderly and sickly, were also prepared. But the others said, you all stay. The need is for three. There'll be other regions that where you all will go. But you all stay. And this is how, subhanAllah. Otherwise, Sahaba, they love to go for Allah, irrespective. And Hazrat Umar sends them to the lands of Sham. And the way they worked for Allah. And finally, they started working together. And then they split up. And they were established in different centers of deen, of dawat, of ta'aleem. SubhanAllah. Hazrat Ubadah bin Samit was centered in Hims. And Hazrat Abu Darda in Dimashq, Damascus. And Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal in Palestine. These are such Mubarak lands. The people of those lands are so special that Sahaba came to them. The people there are the offspring of Sahaba. The people there were taught deen by Sahaba, guaranteed. Wah-wah. Every day make dua for them. These are people of the Quran, the people of Dimashq, the people of Gaza, the people of Sham. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the times of judgment where there'll be fitna, subhanallah, the lands of Iman will be Sham. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to the land of Sham as the lands of the Abdal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, subhanallah, from my ummah they are those, no matter who forsakes them or betrays them, they will never give in and they'll continue striving for Allah. لا يضرهم من خذلهم. Whoever betrays them, forsakes them, خالفهم, will never hinder them from their works for Allah, from them striving for Allah. SubhanAllah. And in the report, Hafidh ibn Hajar brings this part of the report, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are in Baytul Maqdis and the surrounding areas of Baytul Maqdis, meaning that Shami region. SubhanAllah, every one of these Sahaba radiallahu anhum would single-handedly teach hundreds of the tabi'een. Every one of them, subhanAllah. They prepared the tabi'een to be students and then to be teachers, to receive the da'wat and then be da'is, to cleanse themselves and then go out and make tazkiyah and guide the ummah towards Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was Hazrat Ubadah, radiyallahu anhu. He narrated 181 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba used to learn from him. The ahadith he heard directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Anas bin Malik narrates from him. Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah. Hazrat Abu Umama al-Bahili. Hazrat Fadala bin Ubaid. Hazrat Rifa'a bin Rafi' radiyallahu anhum. His children narrate his hadith. Al-Walid, his son, Ubaidullah, Dawood, Abu Salama bin Abdul Rahman, Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf's son, and so many tabi'een. And he would teach Quran and Sunnah all his life.
Inshallah, we'll continue with the discussion with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.